comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, wherever you are, all over this planet, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. And speaking of you matter, I got two emails from someone, two different people, who, you know, I'm excessively busy, right? I mean, I really am. I work 20 hours every day, and some days more. And so I try to answer as many emails as I can get answered. And some people write in and they disagree with something I've said, and that's okay. It really is okay. Some people write in and they really agree with something I've said. That's okay too. Not a problem. It's a talk show. And you get to say what you want to say as well. That's why we open the phone lines. But so once in a while, I get email from someone. They're not just disagreeing. They're acidic. I mean, they really are caustic. And it's like all kinds of personal attacks on some guest or sometimes on me. And, if I had any sense, I'd do it this way and I'd do it that way. Well, look, maybe I don't have any sense. Consider that. Also consider the show is number one in its genre on the earth and has been for a few years now. And maybe I do have some sense. But anyway, I don't, whenever I run across these kinds of emails, I mark that address. If I get like three that are just like that from the same person, then I mark that address and the filters automatically dump it. And the reason is you can say anything you want to say. I just don't have time for people that want to be hateful and nasty. And so I got an email, two emails, and they were friends of a person. I no longer read their email because they're just really caustic and nasty. And, of course, I know that's just because they're on the Internet. In person, they probably would not be that way. It's kind of like people that drink get beer brave. Some mice become lions on the Internet. So they probably wouldn't be that way in person, but I don't have time for that. And I got two that says, well, you said this is the show that where you matter, and then you won't read his email. Well, you do matter, and so do I. That's the point. We all matter. And none of us have the time. We're not going to live long enough to have the time to waste our time with acidic and caustic and hateful and nasty remarks. And so you do matter, and you matter enough that I will reply to your email as often as I can, and I hope you'll send it to me. If you're nasty and caustic and hateful, you're probably not going to get a reply. Maybe one. But you do matter. We'll be back with Giuliano Marinkovic. Giuliano Marinkovic from Croatia right after this. welcome back. We do have guests from literally all over the world, and normally we catch them for our show when they are in the United States, but sometimes not. I will have to say that I do think this is the first time that we have had a guest who is actually in Croatia, and it's a particular pleasure for me to welcome to the show Giuliano Marinković. He is an independent UFO investigative journalist, and he is a broadcaster. He has an internet radio show as well, and he played a very key role in getting some of the information about Dr. Lakhazar Filipov in Sofia, Bulgaria. He played a key role in getting some of that information out to the English-speaking world. So let me welcome to the show Giuliano Marinković. Dobro jutro, kako ste vi?
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for the invitation. And in fact, this is my first international interview after 10 years. So one time I was a guest on Canadian radio station in 2000. So this will be also a great opportunity for me to present some of the updated information and some recent events, and also the event that you have just described, Kevin.
Giuliano, let me just do this before we get into that information. The cover for the show tonight, the graphic for those who are watching on our TV channel, that city that you see in the background is Zagreb, Croatia at nighttime. Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. You know, I was for a brief time stationed in Zagreb, Croatia, and when I was with the international police, and I lived in a hotel that I would bet probably isn't there anymore, and I can't even remember the name for sure, something like the Nova Grundia or something like that. And then it's I can't find it on the internet, so I think it's gone. And I went every day for training out at Camp Pleso, and in my off-duty hours I spent a lot of time at the restaurants there in the main square where the big statue is. Very, very beautiful city. You're a lucky man to be living there.
Yes, it's getting better. Yes, I'm aware, Kevin, that you was active on this region in the 90s, I guess. So I guess you also started your show in Kosovo, right?
Yes, I did. But after I finished in Zagreb, they moved me down to Brčko, Bosnia, and I spent a year down there, and then after that went to Kosovo, and so it was some time after I left Zagreb, it was some time, almost 2 years passed before I started the show.
Well, right. That is a grace. What a journey.
Yeah, well, and you know, this was fresh right after the war, and the difference between Croatia and Bosnia, or at least Brčko, was night and day. You know, the only thing that separates Brčko from Croatia is the Sava River, and we could just go across the Sava River, and it was like stepping into sunshine. There was a little town there called Gunja, and where we could not buy fresh food, fresh vegetables, and so forth in Brčko, we could go across the river into Gunja, and there was every kind of food you could think of available. It was fabulous. So I was very, very thankful to be able to have that sort of a back door across into Croatia where I could buy supplies. All right, let's talk about you and your work. I first became familiar with your work when I started receiving some emails during the Lakhisar Filipov saga, the story, emails where you were sort of acting as a go-between between the Croatian TV news crew that went down to talk with him in Bulgaria and the English-speaking world. You did some translating of the transcript and so forth. And I started receiving these emails, and though I had seen your name before, I can't say that I was really familiar with you and your work until then. So let's begin there. What a strange episode. What a strange event with Dr. Lakhisar Filipov. I don't know if you have seen the series of videos that I put on YouTube about this, but I'm sorry?
In fact, I have, I think, a month or two ago. Yes, I have.
Okay. You know, the strangest thing was when the TV news crew shows up. I mean, the whole thing was strange because we had talked to him the night that the news hit the newspapers. We had talked to him by telephone that night, and he was excited and enthusiastic and agreed to be on the show and then gave us his private cell phone number and then disappeared. We couldn't get him anymore. But then when the TV news crew from Croatia went there, they had difficulty trying to interview him. Because they said his speech was slurred, his eyes were watery, and he had a hard time focusing, and they thought maybe he was intoxicated. Now, I'll tell you, if he was intoxicated, Giuliano, it had to be something besides alcohol, because his eyes had no horizontal gaze nystagmus. And you will have that with alcohol. What do you think was the case? I've speculated that perhaps he had been subjected to sleep deprivation. And the symptoms of that are very much the same as the symptoms of being intoxicated. But what do you think?
Well, it's already controversial and complicated story, as you stated, and well, it was like a saga from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about Filipov's story by accident. I received daily about 100 emails. I'm subscribed to many mailing lists, and there is so many news that I'm receiving. I think I saw it when the story started to break. Somewhere in November 2009, and I can also remember that Grant Cameron, famous researcher for presidentialufos.com, also sent me email asking me what is all this about, as I'm near that region, so maybe I knew more, he thought. But I replied them at the time that if I find out anything, that I will also let him know. So the events go on and on, and I really didn't think that I would play anything in it, but it was really happened by accident. So in December 5th of last year, I get a call from Jurica Radovic, that is a journalist from NOA TV station. It's a national TV station here in Croatia. A private station, mainly it's focused on entertainment, and they have one show called In Magazine. It brings news about celebrities, so on and so on. But they just started to enroll one new segment in the show called Mystical Minutes. So they try to do different things, you know, UFO, paranormal, short, retrospective, or an interesting case. And just at the time as the Filipov story broke, well, they decided, well, we will send a direct team down there in Sofia, Bulgaria, and we will interview directly Mr. Filippo. So it was a good idea, it's a good opportunity, and the titles in the news worldwide were spectacular, agency worldwide were picking up the story, it was very interesting, so it was a very good move to find out any additional information, if it is possible, of course. But I received a call from, I remember it was evening already, and I received a call from Yuri Tsar, never met him before, it was our first introduction over mobile. He told me that he got my phone from one colleague, because I'm doing some shows on UFOs here on Croatian National, it's a state television. So he wanted me to do for him emergency interview about UFOs. So I was intrigued a little bit, and he started to explain to me why. He said, just this what I said, you know, that they went to Sofia, they spent, if I can remember, between $3,000 and $4,000 for expenses of the travel, and they were absolutely stunned. They couldn't take any word from Mr. Filippo that would be acceptable for broadcast standards. So they wanted quickly to find a substitute story. So I was a little bit, confused. I told him, asked him, what was the problem with Mr. Filippo? Well, he was so drunk that it was impossible. He fell so badly and so on and so on. So they arrived, if I can remember, tomorrow or day after at my home to do this urgent interview with me, basically about UFOs, but the point was just to make a quick substitute, because to make any story, because they made so much expenses. And I was so intrigued by it, and I thought, well, this may be a good opportunity for other researchers. I was aware back then at the point already, I checked on the internet, I found out that you have played important role there, Kevin, already. I knew that you are helping in the breaking of the story too. I knew that you were commenting with the guest. I can remember this show with Richard Dorn, where you two commenting also. And I thought, well, maybe this would be a good opportunity to get the recording, because this was amazing opportunity. And I said, well, what will happen with recording? Will you broadcast it there? He said, no, not in a million years. This is embarrassing, no way, and the recording will probably be erased, he stated. I said, well, if it will be possible, maybe you could make me a copy of a DVD or anything. I just wanted to put an eye on it. So, and also I had in mind that I want to help other researchers worldwide to spread the recording, and so we could all analyze and give our opinions to it. Okay, so I think about a week or 10 days went by, and I had to remind him one or two times, because on my mailing list where we all discussing, going back and forth about the case, people were asking, where is the recording, and I had to say, I'm trying to get it, just a little bit more. And at last he really saved me, and he told me that almost all crew from his unit at NOAA TV saw the video. They were all laughing, and I think at that point, at our telephone call, I asked him, are you 100% sure that he was drunk? Because the story also seemed strange to me. It was so strange that they would arrive there and that he would be so unprofessional. But of course, I also don't know all the details. And he said, yes, it's 100% sure. I can remember that he even stated, if Filippo wasn't drunk, then I'm an alien. So he made all these comments like this. But anyway, I was happy that at last I get a recording. I immediately uploaded it on the internet. I know there's a lot of controversy, lots of people on the different forums, Open Minds, I can remember, I read it, asked why the recording is not public. Well, I must clear that up also too. Well, in fact, I'm not the owner of the video. I'm just, I have received it in a good faith. I begged Mr. Radovich to give me, he gave me, and so, but I I wanted to use it to help other researchers to use it for research projects, and so we could all get together, see what was happening. And I also stated that it's fine by me. Everyone can spread recording, use it besides your colleagues that you trust. But I just don't want to recording end up on YouTube. So I would not like to be in some kind of legal dispute because of the copyright violation. And I also knew that the recording could be maybe used to discredit Filipov. Whatever the real circumstances of the events be, I really didn't want to use this recording so that other people could say, so you see, he was so irresponsible, he was there. So everyone who speaks about aliens and it's a scientist, we can immediately see that there is no credibility. So this was really not my intention, and because we didn't know all the details, and it's hard now to say what the details are. Of course, the comments that he was drunk, I thought a lot about it. It really on the first impression. Of course, everything depends on experience. If a person doesn't have broader experience about different states of condition that person has, of course it's easy to stick on maybe first impression. So the first impression really is that. But there, and I'm aware of good points that you made also, Karen, and I think that in the whole story, in the equation, the experience with the different states should be implied. And I think the good way is definitely the people who have, especially with the background of state as Bulgaria, as we all know, everything is possible, of course, and we really don't know all the details as I stated. So your background, of course, in police work and everything also gives twist to the story and should be also looked with seriousness, and there are also good, definitely arguments there. So my final answer would be I'm not sure definitely either way still, because I don't know, of course, all the details. And the answers of this whole episode, of course, are...
I hate to do it, but a break just took over. We'll jump back in right there when we come back, because I want to talk about Filipov just a little bit more, and then I want to talk about UFOs over all of the former Yugoslavia. We'll be back right after this. We are back. My guest this evening, Giuliano Marinkovic in Zagreb, Croatia. We were talking about Dr. Lakhisar Filipov, who, for those who are just entering the stream and are not aware of that story, he is the deputy director of the Space Science Research Institute at the Bulgarian Academy of Science. So he's the number two guy in their version of NASA. And he made the statement back in November last year that, number one, the aliens, extraterrestrials, are real. Two, they are among us, and we don't even recognize them. But one of the things, you're a journalist, Giuliano, one of the things that I found to be very, very interesting was that in the first news story to come out, the very first story, the first article, said that there had been a press or a media statement at which several species of these extraterrestrials were present, and that they answered more than 30 questions put to them by Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. That was in the first story. That's the story that ran in Bulgaria. And I read it in Bulgarian first, translated it myself, waited an hour or so until the English translation came out on the AP wire, just to check and make sure, because I speak Serbian, and that's close, but it's not Bulgarian. So I wanted to double check my translation to make sure, and I had translated it correctly. And so Serbian and Bulgarian, for those of you who do not know, they are not the same language. There are differences, but there are some similarities. And they're close. They're in the same family. All right. That statement was never in any subsequent articles. Now, let's say that first article that contained that statement, let's say that was a misstatement or a misunderstanding. Wouldn't it be the normal thing to do for a journalist who has gotten something wrong in his story, at least in this country, and I know it's this way in a lot of other countries because I've lived in a lot of other countries, the thing the journalist does is the newspaper, they print a correction. They say, yesterday we printed a story in which we said this, that was in error, it should have been this other statement. Well, they didn't do that. They didn't print a correction. They just made that statement disappear in all subsequent articles. Don't you find that a little bit interesting?
Well, it's today, of course, it's a media frenzy when it starts. And if I can recall, also it was stated that he's doing that together with Bulgarian Space Research Institute. Is that what you were referring to correctly? I didn't catch up all from the...
Yeah, the in that first story, the first article said, this is pretty close to a quote. I may get a word or two out of order here. But it said that there has... It was also claimed that there has been a media statement at which several of the alien species were present and answered questions, over 30 questions put to them by Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. Now, that statement was definitely in the article that ran in the Sofia Echo. There's another Novosti or something like that newspaper that ran that same article. I read it in the Bulgarian edition and translated it, and then I read it in the English edition and I had translated it right. That statement was there, that there had been a media statement at which several of the alien species were present and answered more than 30 questions put to them by Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. Now, that was in the first article, and that statement disappeared. Now, I have questioned, you know, I said, if it weren't for that, then maybe I wouldn't have focused so much on this story. But when news disappears without a correction, they didn't correct it, it just disappears. When that happens, that usually means it was the truth, and it was a part of the truth they were not supposed to tell. So, that caused me to focus very intensely upon the Filipov story. And that's why you sent me the video of the interview. And that's why I wanted it. I wanted to look at him and see if he was, in fact, intoxicated due to alcohol. There are no signs of that. No signs of it. But there are a lot of signs that he had been subjected to sleep deprivation. Now, I guess it was 2 months ago, this came out in the Sofia Echo. You know, right now, the Bulgarian government is going through the process of identifying everyone who had ever worked for Državna Sigurnost, their version of the KGB. And this came out in Sofia Echo. More than 40 of the top management at Bulgarian Academy of Science are former Državna Sigurnost. He was surrounded by them. And that one statement just evaporating out of all of the news coverage, just disappeared, tells me that, number one, there was a media statement, but it never made it to the news. And why not? Because most of the news agencies in Bulgaria are run by former DS agents. What do you think? Well, interesting, isn't it? We cannot hear him. So, I'll tell you what we'll do. I start talking about Državna Sigurnost, and all of a sudden, our communication across the pond has disappeared. Okay, so let me say, Giuliano, if you can hear me, we're going to hang up and call you back on a different phone system, all right? And just stay by your phone. Well, am I surprised? No, I cannot say that I am surprised. All right, let's just see if we can get him on this other phone system. And we will try to get through. Now they're not letting me make an international call. Let's try that again. Let's see here. All right. We'll see if they'll let us get through a discussion of Državna Sigurnost. It says the call cannot be completed. Is this interesting or what? No, we're going to keep trying. I'm going to give it another shot here. And we will see. If we can get Mr. Marinkovic back on the line. All right, let's try on a different phone system. And we will see what happens. And we will perhaps get him on the line this time. We'll see. Yes, Giuliano, this is the Kevin Smith Show. I started talking about Državna Sigurnost, and all of a sudden we got cut off. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, I was able to catch up to your comments over live stream, so I was not so much behind you. I know what you were talking about, so we can continue now, yes.
Yeah, so don't you find it interesting that statement just disappeared?
Yes, in fact, when the news appears and when I started to read the articles, I know my first comment was, well, let's see how long this will last, because I really thought that it will not last very long, because there were some similar stories in the past that I was involved too. Well, with the UN meetings, we tried to get this guy from France, Gilles Laurent, a similar thing happened. So if I can remember also, a few days after the first news started to hit, Filippov started to retract some of statements and said that, in fact, the Bulgarian Space Research Institute as an institution is not involved, that because he said that it was more like his private initiative. And that was also, I think, somehow predictable, because I think there is a reasonable doubt that there was some pressure there, probably.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't think Filippov put those statements out. I think those are all bogus. And the reason I think so is because, number one, within 2 or 3 hours after it hit the news, the very first time it hit the news, in Bulgaria, the first article came out within, well, actually, I guess within about 5 hours. We were on the telephone with him, and he gave us his email address. He gave us his private cell phone number, mobile phone number. He agreed to do the show. He even said, if you come here, I will show you what we know. And so we were making preparations to go there. Within 24 hours, well, within 12 hours, we were trying to call him on that private phone, and the only thing we got was classical music. We never got any kind of a message. He never answered. We got nothing. And this continued for days, actually a couple of weeks. We never, ever got him on that number. All right. The first article came out, and he was thrilled that already someone across the world had read it and was interested. Within 12 hours, he was not accessible. We couldn't get him. And whenever I sent an email, he had asked that we write everything down and send it to him, what we were proposing to do in terms of a show, because he said, I do speak English, but I read it better than I speak it. I understand that, because that's the way I am about Serbian. What we got back was a form letter that was sent to everyone, and it was written in perfect American English. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Giuliano Marinković from Zagreb, Croatia, where it is about 3 o'clock in the morning, getting close to 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's agreed to be up so early, or perhaps so late, to be on the show, and we certainly appreciate it. But I was saying, this email we got back from Filipov was not from him. We know how he speaks English. I speak Serbian, but it's broken Serbian, Kojedecu, because it's not my mother tongue. And anyone who's speaking a language that is not their mother tongue, there are little things that you hear that indicate that, or that you will read that indicate that. The grammatics are not the same from language to language. But the email that I got back from Filipov wasn't from him. It purported to be from him, but it was absolutely perfect American English with American spellings. And I think that all of those alleged, those articles that alleged he was taking back some of what he said and that he was changing it, I don't think he did. I think that was done in his name.
Yes, there are many reasonable doubts in the case. In fact, as we can see in the recording, he's not fluent in English. He speaks English badly, and he also combines it with Bulgarian. Mm-hmm. And I know that Robert Powell from MUFON, even with some Bulgarian colleague, they also done some translation of those Bulgarian lines. I don't know, Kevin, have you ever received this translation?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay, great.
And when the reporter said, okay, well, look, just tell me this. When Radovich, the reporter, the journalist, says, okay, well, tell me about the aliens. Are they here? Are you meeting with them? Filipov said in Bulgarian, That is the information that if I tell you, they will kill me. Someone made it clear to him that if he said anything more about these aliens, he was going to be killed.
Yes, and there are similar comments during the interview. For example, he says that it is a frightening game for him. This is the question. He says that he don't want to speak with Radovich. Yes, he even repeats a few times that they will kill him, and it's also one line he says, remember me one day, like he's preparing to meet the worst. So it is, yes, very, very strange during the whole conversation. Lots of those strange lines, comments. So, well, it there is definitely some kind of reasonable doubt that he was involved in some kind of pressure. For me, it was most strange that a person with that caliber from that institute would be so unprofessional for the interview. Although I state many times that I don't know all the details, we only can speculate on this. I think that the keys of this whole story are definitely in the hands of Mr. Filipov. If he decides to go forward and to give more information, we could know better what is the complete situation. I know that some people tried to exchange some mails from him, and he even sent some documents of the progress of his work, but I don't know is this communication still ongoing, but it was definitely below the surface after this whole affair.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, about 2 months ago, it was revealed in the Sophia Echo that I think it was 44 top management at Bulgarian Academy of Science are former Državna Sigurnost. So this man is absolutely surrounded by people who are Državna Sigurnost was reputed to be one of the most vicious security organizations on the planet. And he's surrounded by them. And so if they have decided, okay, we're going to shut you down, you're not going to talk about this, they certainly know how to do it because they've done it before to many, many other people. And when I say they, I don't mean these 44. I mean Državna Sigurnost. They were one of the most efficient hardline security bureaus, security agencies in the world. And so they certainly didn't forget how to do what they were doing. And if they've decided to shut it up, they certainly know how.
Well, yes, historically, in that sense, in general terms, Bulgaria definitely had a dark side. We all know the famous assassination of Georgi Markov in 1978 in London. It was known as a famous umbrella murder. Mm-hmm. I suspect that most of the listeners has heard about this historical incident. He escaped from Bulgaria. He wrote some critics on the president, and he lived in London after that and worked on BBC. And there are even some speculations that together with KGB they make this murder with umbrella that they inserted in his body. This iron ball with chemicals that after 3 days he died. So in general terms, there are dark side with state security there on that ground.
Well, and I can personally testify that after they became a democracy, that didn't change the way policing was done. I know for sure because I was illegally arrested and detained at the Bulgarian border, already having crossed the Bulgarian border many times. I would go from Kosovo down into the former Yugoslavia Republic of Macedonia and across to the Bulgarian border. And then I would cross Bulgaria and get on the ferry and go across to Romania to my, so I could then cross Romania to go to my apartment that I had there in the northeastern side of Romania. And I had done that many times. And I was illegally, I was put in handcuffs and held for 4.5 hours while the guard tried to get a bribe from me. He kept telling me we could work this out. And I said, yeah, we can. You're going to jail. And he finally let me go. But that's after they were already allegedly a democracy. We cannot come to a conclusion on Filipov, but let me ask you this, and we can't because there's just so many things we don't know, but let me ask you this. Have you heard anything about Dr. Filipov now? How is he doing now? Is he still the deputy director of the Space Research Institute? Is he still alive?
Unfortunately, Kevin, I also don't know anything about it. I remember that at the time when I sent the recording, few people were interested in it and do some additional work, as I already mentioned. Robert Powell and Angelia Joyner, I know that they did some work. I follow up some of your shows with analysis, but... And I know that Dave Haidt, shortly after the affair, he had some communication and received some Word documents of the project that he's doing. But after that, definitely nothing anymore. Never heard anyone anymore that said and stated that had any additional information. And I don't know, maybe now when the whole story at least is not active so much anymore, maybe somebody could try to call directly at the Institute, maybe ask, everything is possible. We definitely are in the dark now.
Mm-hmm. I've had two emails from two different people claiming to have inside information in the Bulgarian Academy of Science. I'll tell you about those when we come back, and then I want to move on to UFOs over the former Yugoslavia, and we shall return. Don't go away. Welcome to everyone who is just now tuning in the second hour. You have missed a fabulous, fabulous first hour with my guest, Giuliano Marinković from Zagreb, Croatia. He is an independent investigator of UFOs. He is a journalist. He is a broadcaster, and he is absolutely interesting. And, I'm sorry you missed that first hour, if you did, but welcome aboard. We're glad to have you now. Giuliano, I was saying I received two emails from different email addresses purporting to have some insight into the Bulgarian Academy of Science and wanting to know if I would like for them to try to get some information for me. In both cases, I said, well, I don't know who you are. You need to introduce yourself to me and tell me something about you, and we'll go from there. And in both cases, these people did not email me again.
Hmm.
Now, the reason I did that is because I don't want to be set up for a charge of doing some kind of espionage.
Okay. Just wondering, did they have in their email addresses Bulgarian domain?
Yes.
Okay. So,
yes.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, the normal thing would be to say, oh, yeah, I would love to know. See what you can find out. And then that email could be used for trumped up charges of I was trying to do some kind of espionage in Bulgaria. So I'm not saying that these people, and if they're listening, please understand, I'm not saying that I think you were trying to set me up. I'm saying I don't know, and I have to be assured that that's not what the case is, so that, you know, if I'm going to ask someone to find information, I have to be assured that they're playing a straight game.
Yes. That was the same case with me. I was very, very reluctant to send and distribute video widely, because there was a potential there to definitely use it as a to discredit Filippo. So I was very, very cautious about it. I sent only the colleagues from my mailing list that I trust, that I know they will do good research in it. So, well, it's a very strange area, and we must be very careful here. And who knows what is happening behind the scenes?
Well, that's true. Plus, when you add to that that the political environment in Bulgaria has not settled. It is not settled. There are very strong forces that want to return to the days of Državna Sigurnost and the communist rule, and there are people that don't. And the government is in a titanic struggle within itself. The president of Bulgaria made the statement that he suspected that as many as 90% of the foreign ministry were former Državna Sigurnost. And so this is, you know, it's not the place you want to go poking around, and unless you're really, really sure of what you're doing, because you could get in serious trouble very quick. Okay, let's turn our attention to the UFO phenomenon in former Yugoslavia. And when we say former Yugoslavia, we're talking, folks, about a region of six republics and at least one autonomous area, Vojvodina. And Kosovo used to be an autonomous area, and they lost their autonomy. But and then now there is no more Yugoslavia. There are just the six republics. So, those six, let's see, there's Croatia, Slovenia, Montenegro, Serbia, Bosnia, and what's the sixth one?
Macedonia.
That's right, Macedonia. All right, I can't believe I didn't think of that. I used to live in Skopje. Okay, so those are the six republics. I've been in all of them, and each one of them has its own flavor, and each one of them has places that are absolutely stunning and really worth seeing. And by the way, Zagreb is in that category. It's a stunning city. But also, you've got some fabulous coastline with down around Split and Dubrovnik. Just absolutely gorgeous places to visit. So anybody that's looking for a great place to visit, Croatia is a great place to visit. All right. How did you get involved, and why did you get involved in investigating UFOs in the former Yugoslavia?
Okay, it goes way, way back to 1990s, when there was a war in Croatia. As you have just stated, Yugoslavia was consisted of six republics in a federation, and during the move of the whole Eastern Europe for many states and republics to get their independence, disputed started between the republics, and the war started also. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was at the time in the 90s in the Croatian army as military intelligence in SIGINT, signal intelligence. And one of my duties was, as every military intelligence service has, this section is to intercept frequencies on the tactical level and to assess the information and to use it for tactical purposes. And one of our mandates was to listen at the time UNPROFOR frequencies. Now, for those people that don't know, UNPROFOR was a United Nations Protection Force at the time in Croatia. There were so-called zones of separations when there was UN forces trying to regulate peace between the parties, and so some kind of agreement could be made. Anyway, in 1995, when I was doing my regular duties, I was at the time chief of shift at the hill. Every 2 days we have a new shift of soldiers that arrived and worked there with the radio receivers. And I arrived that morning, and the usual thing was to check up the logs of previous shift. And I said to the previous shift commander, I said, well, what's new? And he said, well, we have this strange report of the UFOs above zone of separation. And it must be stated that on the zones of separation there was a ceasefire agreement, and there was also flight embargo, overflight ban there enforced. So it was very strange to get a report that during the night UN observers in the zones of separations, UN observers were set it, and they would observe the area, and if any incident occurs, they would radio to their base and they would make a so-called incident report. And in this case, it was at night. It was some kind of red light started to fly over zone of separation. And what is interesting is that a UN observer used the definition UFO. And I was very, very intrigued by it. When I was young, in my teens, I had interest towards science fiction and so on. And I even was informed relatively good about UFOs. I read, as a very young person, Frank Edwards' book, Flying Saucers, Serious Business. It's a classic. Mm-hmm. So I knew about Blue Book Project, all this controversy, so on. So this poked my interest. But because I had to do other daily activities, I had to transfer to other priorities during the day. Incident was, nobody worked around it anymore. It was sent officially to intelligence center at the time at the city Split. But I don't know, has anyone do anything about it? And to this day, I'm still not sure what was it. I only know that it was used as a definition UFO. I'm sorry I didn't catch up the date, so maybe I could check up the astronomy configuration at the time and so on, so to see are there any correlations. But what was more important for me, I figured it out then, besides whatever the UFOs could be or there are definitely security implications. If the observer is not educated, and if he's reporting UFO, and if it is not, so even in that case, that is again important for a study. So I said, well, this is interesting, but I don't have now time for it. So, and then the war in Croatia ended at the end of 1995, and I didn't pursue military career anymore. I had offers to stay, but I didn't want it, so I transferred to civilian life. And then in 1996, absolute burst of UFO information started to hit the media. It was very interesting at the time. We had X-Files, of course. I think then at third, fourth season, it was breaking rating. It was a great hit over the world. We had the movie Independence Day by Roland Emmerich at the time. It was a box office breaker. And at the time, there was also Stephen Schiff investigation of the Roswell incident in the New Mexico congressman who did at the time official investigation. And we also had at the time controversial Ray Santilli alien autopsy movie that Ray Santilli later admitted that it was faked. But at the time, it was a really so much dense with UFO information. It was everywhere in the media. So I said, well, maybe I could check up to satisfy my personal curiosity to see for myself, is there anything there?
Mm-hmm.
So I called some of my colleagues, some even from the military old colleagues, and I said, listen, I'm interested in this UFO information, and if you have anything for me in the future, if any interesting data pop up for you, please let me know. So I informed everybody about that. And I also had two colleagues at the time that were studying at University of Transport Sciences for military pilots. They were studying there at the time. And they called me one day. They said, well, we just had interesting experience. During our day at the university, at one class, there was a professor that taught the class called Performances of Airplanes, and they had a lecture about stealth technology. And during this lecture, this professor started out of the blue to tell them about amazing incident in the ex-Yugoslavia from the 90s. It is called Pan-Adria incident, and he gave me the basic outline of the case. I was absolutely fascinated. I couldn't believe it. Immediately I start to think, well, it seems that really there is something there. And we are not speaking about here some observers, citizens. This is actually military involvement, military incident, so on the highest level. So I immediately called that professor. I found the number, of course, and I interviewed him back in 1996. And today we have four witnesses that they step forward. They told details about the case, and it is absolutely amazing. Yeah, and I can give the short outline how it happened if we have time now.
Sure, please do.
Okay. So incident happened in September 1977. At the time, Croatia had a small Croatian air company called Pan-Adria. This is why the case is called Pan-Adria incident. And in this company, they had airplane Fokker Fairchild 227. It's a small passenger airplane, and they use it for the at the time for post letters and for small number of passengers. And they flew during the night. And their route was from Zagreb to Belgrade and then to Titograd. Titograd is today Podgorica. It's a capital of Montenegro. So it was their usual route. And during the flight from Zagreb to Belgrade, at the border of Croatia, there is a city, Slavonski Brod.
Yes.
And suddenly, the red light started to fly near the airplane. And it followed them at the same altitude and with the same speed. And the distance was about 3 miles, 2 to 3 miles. And they saw it visually, of course. It was during the night, and the witness says it was so bright, like somebody put a reflector directly to your eyes with a red color. And they immediately start to check with Belgrade air control, and they ask them, do you have anything on radar? We have something here that is flying with us. At first, they didn't have anything, but later, they reluctantly confirmed that they are having also radar detection. Also, one important detail of the case, that at the time, that same night, Tito, it was the ex-president of Yugoslavia, of course, he had to flew from Belgrade to Cuba that night with two Boeing 727, and they were ready to fly. And suddenly, this thing flies with this small Fokker Fairchild airplane, and this Fokker Fairchild also flies towards Belgrade, where the Tito is also ready to fly to take off. So it was now a very dangerous situation for everybody. So they're starting to descend toward civilian airport near Belgrade, and the light stays on the sky above, and they land. And you know, crew or the takes out, and they look everybody at the sky, absolute red sky, red clouds, and something is up. Absolutely strange sight, they say. And the pilot of the plane, his name is Dobroslav Džeba. The case is now in the public domain here in Croatia, very very known case. And he says they took them to special room when they land, and there was a civilian control. The people arrived in the room. There was a military control also on that meeting, and they also the representatives of state security officers arrived. There was a tension in the room. They said, "This, we don't know what is causing this." They said, "We have it on the radar. This is the first time that we are experiencing something like this, that object follows the plane and then stops above the sky before the plane lands, and it stays there. What is happening?" That they're all very, very confused, because Tito is waiting. He wants to take off. And at the end, the crew of Fokker Fairchild decides to continue their mission, and they flew off again, now near Valjevo, because their route is going towards Podgorica. And immediately as they took off, object again follows them, and everybody on the ground still has it on radar. And during the flight, because the object was very near the airplane, so it was hard on the radar to separate one from two. And controller said, "Well, go to the left." It's a standard thing in aviation, so they can use as an identification. "Go to the left so we could see which one is your airplane." In that moment, object, as they estimate, because with a radar circle they can measure speed, the object enormously speed up, they say, from 0 to 7 Mach, which is amazing. And controller from the ground says, "No, turn back again, go like you flew before." They also see that this is very dangerous. Maybe they even afraid that there could be a clash. And they immediately turned back to the older route, and object again stopped and didn't follow them anymore. In that moment, military intervention starts. And controller says to this Fokker Fairchild airplane, "Don't worry about it now, the military will take off." And now, later, of course, we had, as I said, witnesses, professors for university. We had pilot Dobroslav Džeba. We have co-pilot Miljenko Barkalić, who unfortunately is not live anymore. He died in air accident last year, unfortunately. But I was able to interview him in the 90s, and I have this on record. So we have many statements from witnesses. And MiG-21 were lifted in the air, and they try to intercept this strange UFO. And then, of course, the game of cat and mouse started, because from military pilot community, they later spoke with the personnel, so they told him in basic what was happening. In fact, when MiGs tried to approach near the UFO, UFO would suddenly vertically take off, and they would just go, and without any confrontation, they couldn't catch him in any manner. So the first two airplanes, two MiGs, were left with fuel, so they had to take another pair of MiGs, and those two had to return back. At the end, the object moves towards Hungarian side, on Hungary. It's a border state with Croatia and...
Mm-hmm. Just to the north.
Yes, to the north, mm-hmm. Right. And they are monitoring on the radar what is happening next. And then the Hungarian Air Force takes off with their airplanes. And what they say... the controllers, that they relay what they learned from them later, that it seems that Hungarians lost one airplane during this intervention. And what is interesting from our side, it seems also that there was casualties. Well, we were able later to get in touch with person who was at the time a soldier with regular duty. So it's a regular, he was regularly in the army 1 year at the time in the 70s, and he was at the time stationed on the airport Batajnica near Belgrade. That is a military airport where Boeing 727 of Tito were stationed. So he gave us lots of new details to the story from his point of perspective at the time, what was happening on the ground. And he explains, basically confirms everything what was crew experiencing from Fokker Fairchild airplane, and he was watching from the ground. And he heard emergency sirens on the airfield. He saw, of course, MiGs that were taking off. And some of the flights, he says, never returned back that was taking off towards the UFO. And later, they learned that there was, in fact, some military activity like in war. Apparently, of course, MiGs tried to intercept, maybe even to take down UFO. We don't know that, but something was happening. And what is important in the whole story, after a day or two, there was every soldier was put on the airfield, and commander came out and said, you know, we recently lose some pilots, and because it was a military exercise, and it was a bad weather in Split on Adriatic coast, where the airplanes were routed and they fell down there. So that was a strange story. So this soldier had a friend that lived in Split.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Hold that thought, because I want us to start right there when we come back. I want to hear the rest of this. We'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back. For those of you who are watching on our TV channel, I am aware of the fact that you have seen where it says the phone lines are open and so forth, and that would be normally the case. However, because of the interference we had earlier, I switched Giuliano over to another line, and the line he's on is the one you would normally call. So that is not functional tonight, okay? And I apologize for that, but those are the slings and arrows of getting interfered with. Giuliano, you were telling us that the cover story was given to the military or to these people at the airfield. That their colleagues, some of them, had lost their lives in a military exercise, and the weather was bad down around Split, and that's where they had gone down. And then we had to go to break. So pick up there and tell us this amazing story.
Yes, and the soldiers call up the relatives in Split, those who had relatives there, and they're trying to find out more. And it was confirmed that, in fact, it was not a bad weather in Split. It was nothing unusual. So that they're all figuring out what they suspected in the first place, that it was indeed a covered story. And later, that they were with good relation with one commander who was a little bit more informed, and he was in good relation with them, with ordinary soldiers, and they pressed him one day, and he told them, he confirmed for them, in fact, that there was a war activity near Hungarian border, and that was the reason because the airplanes were shut down. A few days later, they transported the wreckage of the one MiG at the airfield, and the body of the soldier in the casket, and they put the guards around it, And what was interesting, they said that wreckage of that MiG didn't have any wings. Without wings, it was. And to go a little bit back with the Fokker Fairchild crew of the Croatian company Pan Adria, that had at the beginning first encounter with this UFO that traveled across Croatia, Serbia, and then end up in Hungary. Pilot Dobroslav Jebal, that Fokker Fairchild, was also a reserve military pilot, and he had some connections with military air community. And later, he tried to find out more, and he pressed one colleague who really didn't want to tell him what happened. Only one comment that he was able to get from him, he said, well, it was rough, it was very rough. So that was all what he was able to get from him. Also, just one detail that I must add. A few days after Fokker Fairchild returned to Belgrade after the incident, because they were having this usual route every night across Croatia and Serbia towards Montenegro. When he arrived there, they again put him on the special room for a special meeting, and they told him that journalists were interested in the case because it seemed that it was a little bit leaked at the time as a story. So he got instructions, in fact direct order, that he must never spoke about this incident because he was a reserve military pilot, so they pressed him with that. So it was an event that never happened, which is, well, that is in fact what we usually hear about these military and official investigations with the UFO sightings. So it was interesting to find out that it was relatively, after a short time, I was able to find this kind of incident, after less than a few months of my first investigation from the highest military level, that in fact those cases do exist, and they are, of course, and that is why I'm primarily focused on those kind of interesting cases from the military interactions. I'm not anymore so, well, every researcher goes through evolution. In the beginning, most of the people checks close encounters, but very soon you see the pattern and it is not interesting to you because it doesn't move the subject go on further. Of course, I do respect people who make note of it, who collect data, which is also important for the statistics. But if you want to give some kind of progress to those kind of cases and collection, it is very important. So that was primarily my interest. And that was the first case of the military incidents that I was able to find.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned that, a couple of observations here. The incident actually took place up at the northern border of Croatia, the northern border with Hungary, and the Hungarian Air Force was scrambled to come intercept this UFO that was coming their way. Behind the UFO, we have the Yugoslavian Air Force chasing it toward Hungary. One observation is the cover story puts it at the extreme south end of Croatia, down by Split, which is, of course, right on the ocean, right on the sea, and at the south end of Croatia. So the cover story is that it happened, it was not a UFO incident, and it happened at the extreme south end. But the facts are that it was UFO, and it happened at the extreme north end of Croatia.
That is correct, and we have now four witnesses that stepped forward. They gave their statements for the record, and the statements are correlated. They are completely added one to another, and this is why we could make this more complete story and the structure. So it was not just only one witness, and that was very, very interesting from the beginning.
Okay, is it possible that the Yugoslavian airplane was shot down accidentally, or maybe not accidentally, by the Hungarian Air Force that were coming in to intercept this UFO?
Absolutely possible. We don't know exactly what happened. We only know the results. The wreckage is found in Vojvodina. We don't know the exact location, but it is, of course, towards the Hungary, towards the border. So that is definitely also, as you stated, one of the possible connections.
And for people that are not familiar with this part of the world, I recommend you get a map and look. Vojvodina is on the northern side of Serbia toward Hungary. And it's, well, you'll see it. Get a map, you'll see it, Vojvodina. All right, now, at this time, there is a federation of republics. This federation is called Yugoslavia. And one of the interesting things about this, its head, its leader, is Josip Broz Tito. And I found when I lived over there, almost everybody loved Tito, or either that or they're afraid to say they didn't love him. And I talked to many, many people that said, yeah, I wish we had him back. He's what held us together. However, he had a very curious government. Here in the United States, we referred to it as communist. However, in the Soviet Union, they regarded him as not being socialist enough. They said he was not a communist. And he was kind of walking a line between the two. But state security, which I believe was called the SDB, state security was really, really pervasive. They were everywhere. And you never knew. I mean, there were some people maybe you knew they worked for SDB. But, maybe you did business in a bakery. And maybe the baker was DB, and you never knew. Now, the reason that I bring this up is now that Yugoslavia has gone out of business and it's separate republics, and you're in Croatia, are these pilots free to talk now, or do they still have to fear the DB or something like the DB?
You have hit the subject in the nail, Kevin. Exactly that is the point why the pilots step forward, because there is no more the continuation of the ex-administration after the Yugoslavia fall down to separate republics. So because the main administration was in Serbia, and these people, pilots, are mainly from, at least witnesses we do have, of course they are probably on Serbian side too, but we they are not known to us. They were ready to go forward and to speak. In fact, they didn't forward on their own will. I had to find out that this case existed thanks to this lecture of university. So in fact, one lead get me to the another, and we had me and my team of researchers. We were informed about the case. We had good questions and they decided to reply, but they definitely didn't have anything to hide anymore. So it was, in that sense, much easier now.
Okay, so they don't... once you find them and you want to interview them, they don't fear being interviewed? Everything's okay?
Absolutely not. Only Miljenko Bartulic, that was pilot who is not alive, unfortunately, anymore. At the time when I interviewed him, he was an active pilot in Croatia Airlines, that is a Croatian company, air company now. And he absolutely didn't have any problem to speak with me, but he only said, you know, I'm active pilot and there are always those prejudices and biases towards pilots who saw UFOs. And he at the time only wanted from me not to reveal his name during his active service. But during the interview, he absolutely was free, open, tell me everything to know, give me other leads, but only because not in the sense of the ex-administration, but in the basic sense of job in the a civilian air industry, he only from that sense at the time wanted not to reveal his name.
Mm-hmm. So the fear of being put in prison or something like that, that's gone?
No, that's gone, definitely gone, yes.
Mm-hmm. By the way, when I was in Kosovo, my office was in the former DB headquarters there. They had vacated it, and but my office was in their building. And okay. I actually became acquainted with some who had been associated with DB. Not because they were still working there, but because one of them had left something in the office that I occupied, and he wanted it back. It was a radio.
yes, Kevin, and your analysis was right about those agents that before in the ex-administration that were in Baker and you never knew who they are. And we have a name for them. We call them agent sleepers, so-called.
Yeah, yeah, and it was pervasive. It was everywhere. Okay, now, how does the public in Hrvatska, how do they respond to UFO investigators and UFO evidence now? I'll get that answer when we come back from this break. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back. We're on Final Approach. We have just a few minutes left. My guest, Giuliano Marinkovic, independent investigator and journalist regarding the UFO phenomena in Croatia, and he's also a broadcaster. Giuliano, I had asked the question, how does the Croatian public respond now to UFO investigators and to UFO evidence? Are they open about it, or is it ridiculed? How do they respond?
Well, they're definitely open about it. I don't see too much ridicule. Well, except that there are always debates with astronomers. Well, but that is ordinary, I think, in every state. I know most of their arguments, but well, it all boils down to data and to information about the data. But we have now on here on Croatian national television a very popular show on the, well, it's on the state mainstream TV called On the Edge of Science, where I'm working also as a journalist and a co-writer, and we had many, many UFO shows, presented lots of data, presented the witnesses from the case that I just spoke you about, and there are also other very interesting cases, but we will not have time to go into it, but there are also similar military incidents, and we also had one documentary called Night of UFOs that was composition of important and relevant UFO data in Croatia and through the world. We presented most important information, and especially from the military air pilot community. We at the time presented the famous French Cometa report of the ex-members of French military that they presented the data also of their incidents and concluded that UFO phenomena is definitely worthy of scientific study. Also, if audience will recall that back in 2007, James Fox made excellent conference in National Press Club with worldwide pilots that also presented different cases, and I use lots of those data to correlate the patterns and to see what is happening. So the public here is definitely open. They are now informed about the ufology as a whole, and what is important, they are informed with the serious ufology, with the filtered good data, and that they can see that phenomena exist really on the highest level in the military circles, and it is not just lights in the sky that ordinary citizens report.
All right, that brings up the second question, and that is, what about the position of the state? Here in the United States, although they would deny it, there is some state suppression of UFO information. In fact, quite a bit of it. They classify it as top secret when they come across it, and then they don't want to talk to anybody about it, and they tell us it's weather balloons or something, some kind of nonsense like that. What about in Croatia? Is there state suppression of UFO evidence?
Well, it's hard to say because we still didn't get any big, let's say, national incident from the 90s to this day that would preoccupy the public in that sense that they would like to find the answers, like in the sense of any big, like this Panadria incident, big military or any kind of incident that would journalists ask the question. So there was not opportunity for them to present their standpoint of view. Well, for now, let's say there is no standpoint of view, because on the news, on the regular news, of course, there are many daily politics here that media is covering in that sense. Politicians are preoccupied with that, with questions of quality of life and so on. So in that sense, well, there was really no chance to so they could make their point towards this phenomena.
But there's no one, there's no state agency that sends people to you and says to you, look, you're asking too many questions about this, back off.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, that could be also connected because we have presented cases from the ex-administration, so maybe there was no basic ground to do anything against us, but maybe that was the reason. But in that sense, definitely no negative experience from that side, from that point of view. Definitely not.
That is encouraging news. And one of the things that we find, because I do talk to people from all over the world, and I'm in email conversations as well, one of the things that we find is that many, 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 many countries are far more open to UFO evidence than is the United States. And it baffles me. We are supposed to have freedom of speech here, but it baffles me. The United States seems almost closed to UFO evidence, real evidence. And so it's encouraging to know that there are places in the world where, on this topic, the freedom of speech is far more free, and where people can legitimately discuss and talk about and write about and produce TV shows and radio shows about UFO evidence and not even worry about whether there's going to be a heavy hand of the state come down on them. So where do you go from here? We've got about 2 minutes here and until we have to close the show. Where does Giuliano Marinkovic go from here? What's next for you?
Well, I'm continuing to dig the cases that I mentioned. We are trying to find. Well, there is some suggestion that maybe during the Yugoslavian era there was an official even body in Yugoslavia for UFO data, some kind like a small blue book. But that is unconfirmed in this stage. We are still trying to dig that up to find any person who knew more. The incidents were definitely there, so maybe there was some formal body that was investigating inside the military. We don't know yet still that. But as you said, Kevin, there are definitely positive signs. Well, in France we have GEPAN, which is official body in France for investigating UFO inside French Space Agency. I interviewed in 2007 Jacques Patenet, the leader there. its official body, and also in Chile there is a CEFA, where General Ricardo Bermudez also have public body for investigating UFO. And even recently, about 5 to 6 months ago, there was mentioned in the media that Uruguay, state in Latin America, also has official body. And I was checking that, and really is. If you go to Air Force official webpage of Uruguay Air Force, you will find their section for UFOs, which is amazing.
It is indeed. Giuliano, it has been my great pleasure to have you on the show, and I hope you'll be with us again.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It was a pleasure for me, too. Great experience, and also there are some cases very, very impressive that are left. So anytime you want, I'm here, Kevin, and absolutely no problem, my friend.
Even though we start at 2 o'clock in the morning your time, huh?
Well, in fact, it is now 6 o'clock a.m. here. We started at 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. So.
Ah, I see. Okay. I had the time wrong. I used a time converter on the Internet, and that's the times that it told me. So, anyway.
We are at Central European time, set.
Ah,
so.
Okay. Well, thanks for being with us. Stay on the line with me for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. What a fascinating, fascinating gentleman, Giuliano Marinkovic. He has been very instrumental in getting the story of Dr. Filipov to the English-speaking world, and great pleasure to be able to talk with him, and I hope you enjoyed it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.